We thank the Lord for being at Monarch one more time. I count this one of my greatest privileges to be able to gather with the people of God. I love you all. You're my people. I love the Lord and I love His truth. I want to serve Him all the days of my life. Have some of the Word of the Lord that feel like He's spoken to me, pressed upon my heart. And so I ask you to bear with us this morning for a few minutes and look through the Scriptures and examine a few things. I want to look first in Psalms 144, starting at verse 11. It says, "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in, nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets." Happy, listen to this, folks. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yes. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Yes. You know, this morning, God loves His people. Yes. He's got good things in mind for us. Yes. And you know, when I think about the great heart of God, I think He must have some things in mind for us that we probably don't even comprehend. When I look around at the world that He's made and all the things that God has done, I think about His ingenious God. He has a capacity to build and to, we would call it, dream big. He made the universe and all those things. All around us we see the handiwork of God. And we see what God has done. And we realize that God thinks in big ways, doesn't He? You know, He sees you and me too. And though He's not interested in exalting anybody, He's interested in blessing people. He's interested in blessing our family. He's interested in blessing your family. He's interested in those things. And the Scripture here says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." And so I believe David here had a little vision of what God wanted to do. And you know, at the same time, David had a little vision of what God wanted to make sure didn't hinder that from happening. Because the first verse we read, he said, "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons," and he goes on with the reading that we read, "that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace." You know, this morning, I believe the Lord has a lot of things for His people. You know, the people of God in the Old Covenant, the Lord had a lot of promises for them too, didn't He? He told them, He said, "I'm going to take you into a land that flows." He didn't say that has a little. He said, "It's a land that flows with milk and honey." You know, this morning, folks, I want us to enlarge our vision a little bit that God wants some things to flow in our lives. He wants some of His precious glory to flow in our midst. And He wants to bless us together. He wants to bless our personal lives with His presence. And God wants to do these things. And you know, I think about through those centuries back there, David was well aware that there was always and ever present the enemy to try to plunder them and take from them their heritage, take from them the things that God had given to them, steal from them those precious things, that flowing of milk and honey, those grapes that he told that we heard about when we read about what they went in that land and saw. There was enemies. It sounds like a pretty good idea, doesn't it? For people to enjoy those things. But you know, there was enemies that would come in and take those things all away if they would allow them to. And so, this morning, I want us to think about the wonderful heritage that God has given to you and me. I want us to think about, as David did, Lord, rid me of the things that would stop that process. And rid me from the things that would cause the plundering of our heritage of spiritual walks with God. Our heritage of those things that we know of the glory of God in our lives and in our midst. Those things that would plunder the values that we have. Lord, rid me of those things. Don't let those things plunder our lives this morning. You know, I think about the scripture says to fight the good fight of faith, doesn't it? You know, that's because we're going to have to fight it or we're not going to have it. There's an enemy on every hand. On every hand, all around Israel. There was Egypt and there was the Philistines. And there was, on every hand, there was the Syrians. And they would come down and try to plunder them. You know, we need to be aware and not ignorant of Satan's devices today. That on every hand, all around us, there are those enemies to the cross of Christ. Our enemies to the things that we count so dear. To the heritage that we have of truth and life and the Spirit's moving in our midst. Haven't we enjoyed those things during this meeting? You know, I've sat over there and I'm just like a sponge, just felt like a sponge, just soaking in the Spirit of the Lord moving in our midst. I count it one of my greatest joys and I thank God for it. I didn't always have that opportunity when I was young. I was 18, 19 years old. I was 19 before I ever came here. And it felt like heaven when I first came. And it still feels like heaven sometimes. It's a blessing that we have. It's a heritage that the people of God have that God has given to us. But this morning I want us to think a little bit about on every hand that we have to fight the good fight of faith and fight for the things God has for us this morning. You know, I was thinking about how that there was a time in the children of Israel's history where it says there was no open vision. You know, when I read that, my heart grieves. The reason that was because Eli the priest, though he knew better, his sons were wicked and vile. And he allowed them to minister and to make the things of God detestable so that people didn't want to come to the house of God. And so what happened, the Lord was not able to openly reveal himself like he wanted to. And Eli knew this, but I will tell you what God did. There was a little boy named Samuel. And we see where there was a lady that hadn't had a child and she was crying before God. And the Lord gave her a little boy named Samuel. And you know, she dedicated him to God, didn't she? She promised him to the Lord. And Samuel came and you know, he became one of God's servants, didn't he? And God blessed the people of Israel all through Samuel's time. There was open vision. When Saul went to look for his donkeys, you know where he went? He went to to Samuel. And you know what Samuel told him? They're found. He knew God had revealed that to Samuel. There was open vision on every hand. You know, this morning I'm thinking about our situation here. I look at our congregation, and all across here, I see young people. All across, I see young families. I see a lot of that, and I love that. To me, that inspires me. You know what I see in that? I see Samuels. I see children that God could put His hand on and wants to. I see all across here, I see those middle-aged that God wants to put His hand on. And He wants to work through. And God will do that. And this morning, I just want to encourage us that we raise up a banner, that we raise up before the Lord His banner, that we fight the fight of faith, that we fight for our children, that we fight for our own experience. Folks, I see the Lord moving on these ones. I've been praying, Lord, we need 20 or 25 new young ministers. Would you call them? That sounds pretty big. We serve a big God, folks. We want the Lord to move on our young folks. Oh, Lord, would you move on them? Would you provide the fertile soil in our midst that they feel the call? They feel the desire. They feel the fire. They feel the pull. They feel the want to give their lives to this thing. Folks, we want that, don't we? I want to tell you something this morning. We have enemies to that. We have those enemies that would steal the fervency that brings that about. I think about this little old crude illustration everybody knows already. But you know, water, it's mighty hot at 210 degrees and 211. But at 212, it starts steaming. And there's a lot of power in that. Folks, we can be saved. And we can live for the Lord and not go deep enough for the Lord to put enough fire in our lives to create something that makes things happen. His Spirit working. So this morning I want to challenge us today, whether we're young or old, Lord, let us find that place with You. Let us find that place of open vision. Let us find the place where Your Spirit burns in our hearts. Where it burns, where it makes other people want to burn too. There's something catchy about that, isn't it, this morning? Oh, Lord, help us this morning that we will not just be saved. I love to see people get saved, but I always think when I see them get saved, step number one, that is barely started. They didn't arrive, they just barely started. How the Lord wants to use their life. How the Lord has things in mind. I believe He has callings for these folks. All of us here. Do we realize that God has a calling for us? That He has a place in His work that He wants to use us? I want to turn to 2 Timothy 2 and 16. And I pray that you'll pray for us and bear with us this morning, because I feel like I have the word of the Lord. Amen. And it's heavy on my heart this morning. 2 Timothy 2 and 16. Listen to what this says. Study. Well, we'll start at 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Do you know that there are some things of the flesh that will eat like a gangrene or a cancer. And they will increase. And this morning, I want us to examine a few little things in our lives. You know that the things that increase in our lives are not only bad things. Good things can increase in our lives too. And that's why Paul said, study to show yourself approved unto God. The Lord wants things to increase in our life. But I will tell you, evil things will increase too. And he said here that their word, he said, I want you to shun profane and vain babblings. I want you to shun some things because it says their word will, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And so this morning, as we live in a world that all around us, we see every kind of thing going on, let's keep in mind that God wants us to be separate. He really does. He always had a separate people. He wants us to be separate when it comes to the things the world does. You know, let's look at verse 14 and 15. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, God, He didn't tell us that without equipping us for it. He said, I want you to rightly divide the word of truth. Give yourself to understanding it, so you rightly divide the things of God, so that they work in your life, so that they produce powerful results in lives. I believe the Lord's capable of that in our lives this morning. I want to look at 2 Timothy 3 now, starting at verse 7. And it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth, concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Looking down in verse 13, just bear with me a minute here. He says, but evil men and seducers shall work wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, in 15 and 16, it says, and that thou, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, this morning, I want to look at the contrast between these scriptures here. The last scripture we read said that the man of God may be perfect, complete, fully equipped, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I want to contrast that with verse 7 that says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, this morning there's a great contrast between these things. The word thoroughly furnished in Strong's, it says to equip fully, accomplish, or thoroughly furnish. And so this morning, I believe the Lord wants to thoroughly furnish us as His people. He wants to completely equip us for the battles at hand. He wants us to be able to meet the world and not falter. He wants us to be able to have a zeal. Is that too much to say? That we have a zeal? You know that zeal is not by accident. It comes to people who give themselves to the Word of God and to the Lord. It comes to people who begin to search after the good things of God. And do you know that when we do that, the Lord begins to reveal His Word to us, and He begins to teach us, and He begins to thoroughly furnish us and completely equip us for the battle. Is that true this morning? Does the Lord completely equip us for the battle? Does He completely equip us to be parents? Or did He just give us children and say, do the best you can? I believe the Lord wants to thoroughly equip us to the things He's given us to do. He wants us to understand some things about the ways of God. And He wants to equip us to do that. And so this morning, there's a great contrast between ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth and being fully equipped and fully furnished this morning. 1 Timothy 4, we move on over in verse 12. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy. It says here, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Young folks, I want to challenge you this morning. You don't have to be 50 years old to start teaching. God can thoroughly furnish you and equip you. And though we learn all the way through, He can start using us when we're 10 years old. He started using Samuel when he was just a little boy. And God began to speak to him. And what was he doing? He was just speaking what God spoke to him. You know, God wants to do that for us today. I believe that. And Paul sees this young man and he says, don't let any man despise your youth. Now, that doesn't mean we become bold and try to get out of our place and get into places of authority, or he wasn't talking about that. But when the Lord begins to work in your life and He begins to talk to you. Has the Lord ever talked to you? Has He? It's a precious thing. It's hard for me to say that loud because it's sacred. Very sacred this morning. It's a blessed thing. Don't let anybody despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You know, He was telling him, apply yourself. Get fully, thoroughly furnished. Get completely ready. Don't wait until someday and you think, here's this period of years here where I can blow it. Folks, if you blow it, you've blown it. You can't ever get it back. And you've missed it. You've missed a time in your life. I want to encourage you to give yourself to the Lord. I look at the things of God, at the meetings. You know what a blessing it is for young people to get up here and sing the songs of Zion from their heart? You know what a blessing it is for young folks to get up here and challenge the rest of us? Oh, I love that. Isn't that wonderful? You know, there's little meetings all over. Young folks, if you did nothing more for those meetings than to take your time to go there and sing some songs and pray some prayers and plead with God and interact with the other young folks and help them to feel the fire. You know that's valuable this morning. And it's a proving ground. It's a place where God is preparing you to work. It doesn't stop at young folks. I've seen the Lord call some folks to the ministry when they were older. I've seen, and the ministry is by no means the only work. We know that. But folks, this morning, Let's give ourselves to the Lord in a way that He can thoroughly equip us, realizing that the devil, our adversary, is set against it. Amen. He is set against it to somehow keep us from reaching the intensity in our spirit where we just say, Lord, anything. The devil will do anything to keep that from happening, because that's where it happens, folks. When we throw up our hands and say, Lord, I want You to have my life. I want You to have the best years I've got. I want You to have the best years where I could make the most and do all that. I want You to have them. I want them to be just what You want them to be. You know, who of us is willing this morning to give themselves like that? But I want to tell you something this morning. We're in competition with the world. The world is competing to gain your time. The world is competing for your affections. The world is competing. It is compelling to say, come here. Don't waste your time going to that meeting. Of all the things, there isn't anything to do over there. Oh, folks, the world is competing, isn't it? But I want to encourage us this morning that God wants to build a fire in our hearts that rubs off on those around us. A fire burns, and it burns anything that gets close to it. And this morning, I want to encourage us, Lord, would You burn in my life? Lord, I don't want the competition of the world to steal from me my affections. I want to be not only willing, but zealous to do the work of God. I want to not only be willing to go to Monarch or to wherever, but I want to be willing and zealous to go wherever Your work is, that You will allow me to go, that You will call me to go, that You will let me go, that You'll let us be a blessing. And so this morning, the Lord help us, and that there is, He says here, don't let any man despise you. Whoever we are, we can start right where we're at and begin to give ourselves to God. And there's a place for us to do that. Wherever we are, in whatever our situation is, don't let any man despise your situation and who you are. And that doesn't mean bold in your face things, folks. That means that I'll work where God will let me work. I'll work where He will put me, in my little corner, even if it means I'm just caring for a parent. I'll do God's will with all my heart. Okay. And He goes on to say here, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now this morning, you know, there is a profit in the things that we're talking about this morning, as we've been saying. There is a profiting that appears to all when we serve the Lord with all of our heart. You know, I'm not going to bear down hard on a bunch of things, but I want to mention a few things to us, because, folks, I feel compelled of the Lord. You know, I don't feel really inhibited about saying these things, because most of us feel the same way, I know that. But I just want to warn us this morning. Do you know that the electronic things all around us, our phone that we all have, competes for our time if we're not careful? You know, Facebook will compete for your time. It will take from you the energy, the zeal, the desire to give yourself wholly to the things of God. And I'm not just bringing out one thing, because I know my wife has Facebook. Facebook's not evil in itself altogether. It's hard for me to say that. But folks, let's put these things in their proper place. You know, maybe we do want to keep in touch with some friends. Maybe we can use it for God's glory. But if it's competing, I will tell you how we'll know when things are out of their place. If we don't have the heart and the zeal and the desire to give God everything. If we don't have time for worship, real worship. If we don't have time to connect with God, but we've got time to do things that the competition of the world all around us has, then it's out of its place. That's a good thermometer, barometer, I feel like. Is that right? I believe we can tell by those things. I take our spiritual temperature a little bit. Well, over here in the world's thing, I can get on and I can be on this thing for 2.5 hours and enjoy it and love it. But, you know, Lord, I don't have the 10 minutes. I don't even have 10 minutes, much less an hour or two in your things. Searching out, Lord, who do you want me to call today? What do you want me to do today? Are those things mundane? I want to tell you something. It's not mundane to serve the Lord. When you feel the presence of the Lord and He begins to work in your life, it's not like every day you live on a high. But folks, there's something right about it. There's something that down on the inside, it's okay. There's something good. It's wholesome. It's kind of like living life. When you know you're having to go to work every day, you come home, your family's there, you're tired, you go to bed, you sleep. You know, is there anything wrong with that? It's wholesome, isn't it? It makes things right. Well, you know, the Lord wants our life to be right. He wants our spiritual life to be right. He wants it to be wholesome. And a place of prosperity spiritually. Lord, help us here this morning. I want to look out of scripture we all know, 1 John 2 and 15. I've preached about this here before. And so I could argue with the Lord. Lord, I've already been there. But I can't do that. I know the Lord talked to me, and I just ask Him to bring it home to our hearts. 2 and 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Folks, we can feel like, well, I don't love the world. I love the Lord. But I just love the things. I really love the things. I love to do the things. I love to go the places. I love the things. You know, we wouldn't hardly admit that to ourselves. But I will tell you, sometimes when we look at where our time goes, where our affections go, what we make time for and what we don't, it tells us where our love is. And that's the way we can know. The Lord hasn't left us without an ability to know where we're at. We can know some of those things. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And we read there where it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So folks, all around us, in a spiritual way, we heard about spiritual location the other day. All around us is located these things that we constantly have to be aware of. David constantly had to be aware that his enemies were right there at the border. And if he ever let down his guard, they would come right in. And they would take his good stuff. They would come in. They would plunder the cities. They would take their gold. They would take their silver. And they would take their sons and daughters. And then they would do whatever they wanted. And they would kill and murder and maim the rest. That's what. And ever present on every side was these enemies. Did it mean that he lived in fear all the time? No, he just stayed prepared. David stayed in a place with God where he could get a hold of the Lord to help him because he knew that they were ever present all around him. Folks, do we realize that this morning? That ever present all around us lies the spirits of the world that would love to come right in. And they will encroach. And sometimes the Philistines would come right up and they would take a city that was close to them. And they would invade Israel. And then they'd have to gather all their forces together and go take this thing back. Do you know that all around us the world wants to invade into our lives? And that's why we have that's one reason we have the preaching of the word. Is it because that we want to pound on things? No, we don't want the world taking our spiritual life. We don't want the world taking our young people and making fun lovers out of them instead of seekers of God. We don't want their lives to be all about things that don't matter eternally. We want their lives, don't we? And we value that. And we see the enemy, he'll encroach upon us. And we have to put him back in his place. You know, the devil will do that. It don't mean we've lost the battle. It don't mean we've lost everything. But folks, we have to ever be vigilant, on our guard, that we don't allow the enemy to take things. Because this world that this is talking about is all around us. It's not something in a spiritual sense that has a black and white line like they had in Israel. It's much more subtle. It's places that you have to have discernment to know where that line is. We have to even know where our borders are. We have to know where the things are. We have to know what the things are that need to be protected. And so I'm looking, I'm longing. Folks, when I look across the crowds, every time I see, not every time, but every meeting that we gather together, and often in our congregation, I look out across there and I'm seeing potential. And I'm seeing what God has for people. And I'm thinking, if only they would let the Lord. Oh, He has big things in mind. Now that sounds kind of out of place. Big things in mind? We have a big God. He spoke and this thing came into existence. He put those stars out there and we think we're really something because we're finding out a little bit more about what's out there, and we're finding out there's more than we ever dreamed there was. That's God. He's like that. Folks, He has things in mind for you and me. Do we see defeat? I don't see defeat. I see the enemy encroaching in the laws of the land. I don't see defeat. Folks, the Lord wants lights in this land. I see the darkness is getting darker. And you know what I think? The light's going to get brighter. It's going to be easier to see it. It's going to be easier to discern it. And God's wanting you and me to be lights in this dark world. He wants us to not be dimmed. He doesn't want the world to encroach on us and dim our light until they can't tell the difference between us and the world. He doesn't want us to do that. That don't save the world, but the true light does this morning. And when we separate ourselves from the lust of the flesh, what are these things? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. You know what pride is? It's just a perversion of what God gave. Did you know that God wants you to have some confidence? He wants you to be confident that what God tells me to do, and if I know it's Him, He'll help me do it. He wants you to have confidence that I can do anything that God expects of me. That's confidence. He wants us to be confident enough to go do a job and say, I can do this. The Lord's going to help me if I don't know how. Sometimes we don't know how to do some things. I remember when I first started trimming houses on my own, building cabinets on my own, and I wasn't a designer. I don't like to design. I hate to design. But I like to build things people design. But you know what? I had to design. And so I would look at this cabinet. Lord, You got to help me. I don't know what to do. The design just isn't there. And you know the Lord would give me designs? He would. You know, we can do. That's confidence, folks, in God. And a perversion of it is pride. And that is that I'm really something. I'm somebody. The world needs They need me. I'm about, folks, that's pride. That's a perversion. And it'll hinder everything God wants to do. Do you know that the lust of the eyes is just a perversion? Where is the line? Can we say this is the line where it's the lust of the eyes? No. I'll tell you what we can do. Well, first I want to say this. God has given us many nice things, hasn't He? Don't we enjoy a nice home? Don't we enjoy a decent car and enjoy the good things of life? We do. But what's a perversion of it is when we want more and more. And when it has to be too glamorous and too much. That's a perversion of it. It's the lust of the eyes. Everything I see, that's what I got to have. And so we've got to watch those things. Where is the line? We need to walk with the Lord. We need to understand. We need to give ourselves to Him, to the study of His Word. He'll help us to know. He'll start dealing with us along lines, and we'll start becoming more like He wants us to be and farther from the world. And that's the thought that I want to deal with today. Folks, the Lord wants us over in His place. Satan and all of his world and all of his tactics wants us in his place where there is no spiritual fervor. There is no open vision. There is no call from the Lord. There isn't those things there. I want to mention a few things this morning, just a few, and we can enlarge on them in our own hearts and homes. I believe this myself. If the function of a thing is just to entertain, we better watch it with a close eye. Can we say that this morning? If that is all it's for, if that's what the whole thing exists for, is to entertain, I want to tell you something. That's where the enjoyment of the things, the good things God has given us, that's the line between that and where the lust of the eyes and the flesh and all the world lurks. The things that dim and dull our spiritual desire and fervency. There's a line there. And so I want us to think about a few of those things this morning. If we find ourselves... I want to say this. Those things of the world will increase unto more. Just like Paul said here, he warned him not to become involved in some of those things because he said they will increase unto more. Folks, I believe that when we begin to go out into the world and the ways, the worldly entertainments all around us, I believe that what we're going to see is it is going to increase to more. We're going to give ourselves more time for it because it's fun, isn't it? And so there's a fun in there. And so it begins to call us, and we give ourselves to more of that. And our children love that. And they really give themselves to it. And we're crying for the Lord to work. And we're pleading for God to lower His presence. But our hearts can be far from Him this morning. And I'm not casting stones this morning, please. I find this part of ministry to be a difficult place because you would like to make everybody feel comfortable, but we can't do that and be one of God's people. It will increase unto more entertainment and less fervency. We will find ourselves spending more and sacrificing less. We will find ourselves going more to those kinds of things and less to spiritual meetings and trips of sacrifice. The heart of our children, I'm just reading some notes I put down about this. The heart of our children love those things. And I will tell you by my observation, it has a real dulling effect. Most of the time, in the end, now maybe not at first, but in the end, it has a real dulling effect on their spiritual fervor and sacrifice. sacrifice, folks. The work of God is built on sacrifice. It's built upon us giving up our time. And it's built on us giving up our fun, if you want to say it that way. The work of God is built that on that. Does it mean we don't have any fun? Oh, by no means. There's nothing like what we've been enjoying here this week. It's the highlight of our year. All of our children and us look forward to this all year long. I cannot wait until Monarch gets here again. It's a blessing, isn't it? We have meetings that we enjoy, don't we? And don't we see the Lord deal with our children during those times? It's a worthy cause. But folks, this is just a general gathering. There's places everywhere that need you and me and our children to be there. They need the support of others. And so I want to encourage us this morning that our level of fervor and sacrifice does not get dulled and brought down to a place that it's not there. And it can happen so easy. I want us to remember something. On every side of our spiritual location, these things lie. And do we sin because we do a little something? No, not necessarily, unless we know God doesn't want us to do something. But folks, we can pay a price as a people if we're not careful. I don't want to pay that price. I love the movement of the Spirit of the Lord, and I want to see more of it. I want to see the Lord put His hand on a whole bunch of our young folks. I want to see that. I've been praying for that. Lord, would You do it? Would You put Your hand on them? Would you bring the fire into their lives in such a way that they are constrained to just give themselves and tear away from those fun things of the world for things that are valuable, that brings not just fun, but it brings satisfaction. Fun doesn't always bring satisfaction. It brings a high for a moment. But I will tell you what brings satisfaction, and that is the Lord and His ways and giving ourselves to His work. You know, this morning, I've seen a lot of things that people do, and I'm just going to give this to you, if I can say, just from my own opinion, okay? But folks, I have never seen... I'll say it this way. I have seen a lot of people take movies into their homes. But I will tell you what I have noticed. In the end, okay, in the end, because we don't look at things on the start. We look at them in the end. I'll tell you what I have seen. I have seen a number of homes that I know personally that was the downfall of where they lost what God had for them. I have seen that. But I'll tell you what I have not seen is where it's a great blessing pouring out to them. And people are just giving themselves to the Lord. Oh, it might kind of start with a good one or something like that where, you know, there's good values. And let me tell you something, folks. If we start feeding the flesh, I just want to encourage us. There are some lines in here that God wants us to draw that... Do we miss something? Yes, we do. Is there something good sometime that we might miss? Maybe so. But in the overall picture, folks, I'm not throwing hard stones out. I'm telling you, oh, how I long. How I long for the Lord to increase the fervency among us. How long to hear the praises of God. But I want to tell you something. These things steal. I've seen it firsthand a number of times. These things steal. You know, I know, and please forgive me. If you want to throw a stone, throw it now. But folks, I know a lot go to theme parks and things like that. I want to encourage you all. You better deal very carefully with those things. Because you will find something missing. And you won't even know why. You will find things missing. And I'll tell you one reason. Because it replaces something else. We only have so much in our life. We only have so much time. We only have so much available. We only have so much funds. And that's all we have. And folks, I want to encourage us. You better look at those things with a cross eye. That's from my heart. I long for the things of God to increase. Folks, I feel like I'm telling you what God gave me to give you. And I love you. Folks, I'm not condemning you if you've gone. I don't have any desire to do that. But I want to tell you this, in the fear of God, those things will steal some things from us if we are not careful. I know that more and more among us is taking cruises and things like that. Folks, please don't hate me for that. I want to tell you something. I'm not saying that every cruise is... Sometimes people go up to Alaska and see the beauties of God. I'm not throwing out this is sin. Folks, we better be careful. There's a lot of the spirits of the world in those things that are made only to entertain. And if we don't watch out, we will have lost and never know why. And I want to encourage us to hear this morning. He that hath ears to hear, hear what the Lord says this morning, I believe. Folks, I want to just talk about one scripture here at this point. Ephesians 5 and 4. It says, neither but fornication, starting at 3, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. That not convenient means it's not suitable. It doesn't suit. It's not the right thing. And so, you know, this morning, I believe that probably everything evil is a perversion of that which is good. And so when we see a healthy laugh together and all those things, you know, that's healthy. Laughing is healthy, I believe. That's my feelings about it. A good enjoyment together and a little bit of back and forth. You know, I enjoy some of that. But folks, I want to read to you what the word jesting means. It means, it says, from a compound of G2095 and a derivative, well, anyway, meaning well turned, that is, ready at repartee, witticism, that is, in a vulgar sense, ribaldry or jesting. Now, you know, whatever we get out of this scripture, I want to say this. I want us to think about something that maybe we've never thought of before. Do you know that professional comedians almost always, it kind of has a base side to it? It turns to those things. And folks, really to me, it's a perversion of that thing which is good. That thing that is good for us. And that is a good healthy laugh. A good healthy enjoyment with one another. Some fun together between brethren. But folks, I believe these things steal from us. We need to mark that. And when we go these places many times, what do they have there? These are some of the centerpieces sometimes, isn't it? Because it's funny. But folks, I don't think it's godly. We need to be careful about those things this morning. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong. I want to read to you what Clark says about each one of these things. He says, neither filthiness, anything base or vile in words or acts. You know, we don't want to be a part of anything base like that or vile. The Lord doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to withdraw from those things. It says foolish talking. He says scurrility or buffoonery, ridicule, or what tends to expose another to contempt. Nor jesting, artfully turned discourses or words. And I know some of this may be in a wrong way. But folks, these things kind of intertwine. And we want to be careful of them. Draw some lines in our life, maybe a little farther than they just have to be. Draw some lines in our life that will protect those spiritual things that God has given to us. You know, these things are so prevalent in our society today that I think some of our young folks probably never even have thought of this, maybe. But it says here, nor jesting, artfully turned discourses or words from the Greek word well or easily, and I turn. Words that can be easily turned to other meanings. We ever heard those kind of things? Double entendres. Chaste words which from their connection and the manner in which they are used convey an obscene or offensive meaning. It also means jest or puns, witty sayings, and mountebank repartees of all kinds. You know, Clark goes on to say, which are not convenient, they do not come up to the proper standard. That's what he writes. They do not come up to the proper standard. They are utterly improper in themselves and highly unbecoming in those who profess Christianity. But rather giving of thanks, decent and edifying discourse or thanksgiving to God. Prayer or praise is the most suitable language for man. And he who is of a trifling, light disposition is ill-fitted for either. I'm going to read that sentence again. Prayer or praise is the most suitable language for man. And he who is of a trifling, light disposition is ill-fitted for either. How can a man who has been talking foolishly or jestingly in company go in private to magnify God for the use of his tongue which he has abused or his rational faculties which he has degraded? Folks, I'm not saying a little fun something is wrong, but let's be careful. Those things that are professional comedians and think they're not going to be good for us spiritually. Can I say that? I believe we just read that this morning. All right. All right. All right. Sometimes they can even be in the religious realm. Dear ones, I love you this morning. You don't know how my heart is wrapped up in you and in your benefit. I've given my life to it and for it. I want to see this people prosper. I want to see your family be a flame for the things of God. We must not share it with the world. We must not share our things with the world when they're in an out of place in life. That's what lust is. It's a strong desire. It's too much desire for things that maybe some of them are even okay. This is a spiritual walk with the Lord. God help us this morning. One of the commentators says, cheerfulness is not forbidden, for if anything can make cheerful, it is the hope of heaven. Pleasantry cannot be forbidden. I mean that quiet and gentle humor that arises from good nature and makes one good natured in spite of himself. Is there anything wrong with that? It's a blessing sometimes, isn't it? That bit of good humor and things. But folks, let's be careful of the world and of the way it takes us. Help us, Lord, to know where those places are. 1 Corinthians 7 and 31. I'm almost done. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Folks, it's going to pass away. This world is. But there's going to be an eternity out there. And God, help us to make it count while we're here. Oh, Lord, please put it in our hearts, burn upon our hearts today. You know, I was just thinking about all around us, we are inundated, absolutely inundated with things of the world until we carry it in our pocket every day. You know, we can use it for the Lord, but folks, we can have it steal from us too. Don't let our phones make us people that are busybody in other men's matters. God has weighty things for us to take care of. Use that thing to call people with and bless them. Use that phone to bless the work of the Lord. Use it for good purposes. Don't stay. You know, I use the electronics of the world today. I have to look things up all the time. You know, sometimes I'll read the news or something. But folks, let's don't let it encroach upon us and steal our time. Amen. Time is something you won't get back. I'm already in my 50s. I don't know how I got here. I'm already there. Before I know it, I'm going to be 70. And my days are slipping by. Folks, God wants to put a fire in your life today. Oh, who is willing this morning to consecrate themselves to the Lord? The Scripture says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. You know, this morning, the Lord wants glory from our lives, just like everything else He made. And I believe if we'll give it to Him, He'll have it. He's got some things in mind for you and me that would probably stagger our minds. He may have, I don't know, because to us, what could I do? Hey, I understand those terms. I understand that language. Folks, the Lord wants to put His hand on you, and He wants to take that little bit, that seven fish or however many there was there, and He wants to multiply it. He wants our life this morning. But if we give it to the world and we just try to have enough, oh, I want to be saved. Yes, I want to be saved. Folks, that's step one. Where are we this morning? Are we giving ourselves to God in our hearts? I want to encourage us this morning. Oh, let the Lord just burn in your heart. Lord, I don't even know what You want me to do, but I just want to be there. I want to be on the line. I want to be Yours. I'm here. Call on me anytime You need me. But I'm not just waiting. Lord, I'm going to be doing those things that I know I ought to be doing. I'm going to be keeping clean. I'm going to be helping those around me in the meantime. You all pray for me this morning.